out there. First of all, it's been a couple weeks now, and I didn't mention it. The ladies' friendship dinner was fabulous. It went so well. And I got to listen to the first time in a while, got to listen to the speakers. We might get that on Facebook. I don't know if we can do that. But I listened to the whole program, and it was excellent. It's just outstanding, and I praise God for that. And I want to encourage you, ladies, for next year, invite more people. This is an outreach, and it was so well done. So everyone involved, kudos. Nice job. The guys, I had a bunch of young guys and some older guys, and we had a blast serving. And it was just sweet. And I'll tell you, these young guys and those older men as well, they just really got at it. Couldn't have done it without you. So we give God praise. Just something to be praying for. Pastor Wes's grandfather, that's Amy Marshner's dad, is not well. He's on the last part of his journey here on earth, knows the Lord. But be praying for Amy and Gary and Pastor Wes, the family. This challenging week before them this week. Next Sunday, Jeff and Kylie Moore are going to be here for our Sunday school time. They're going to share. God's leading them in church planning on the West Coast, and you're going to hear about that. They'll share a little of that in the morning service. Pastor Wes will preach our morning service next week. So get here for Jeff and Kylie. And he grew up here. We're so proud of him. We got people serving the Lord all over the place, and it just blesses our hearts, blesses our souls. We're grateful for that. Two, the baptism service. If you're interested in believer's baptism, I want you to make sure that you talk to me. It's a ways out, but it's not too early to talk. So if you have questions about that, you need some clarity there, what's that about, who should be baptized, all that, that's there for you. Okay, let's go ahead. Turn to Ecclesiastes 11th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. We are moving through this book. We're going to read this text. I'm going to read that now. We're going to pray and ask God's help, and then we'll get on with talking about it. So Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. Divide your portion to seven or even to eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth, and whether a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. The light is pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. Let them remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart. Put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we are grateful to have the freedom to gather today, thankful for the opportunity to sing praise to your name, to a glory in the fact that our risen Savior is triumphant and he's at your right hand in place of honor and authority. Thank you for the joy that we have in knowing you, for the forgiveness we have through confession of our sins to you. Thank you for allowing us to see our great need for Jesus and then to respond in faith, trusting him for eternal life and beginning a relationship with you that is amazing. Father, as we think about what you've done for us, what you're yet to do, we cannot say thanks enough. You are so, so good. Thank you that you never give up on us. We thank you that we have the privilege to open your word, to think about it, to hear it, to have it in our lives and to grow in it. And Father, we think about one day we'll step right in your presence. We'll see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And with that truth, Father, I pray that our hearts will be all about living as we ought to live by faith, enjoying the moments you give us and striving to please you and serve you and in that way serving others. Help this congregation, Father. We have great needs. I mentioned a few of those just a few minutes ago. We have great praises as well. But I pray for those that are struggling in their walk with you today. Maybe there's some bitterness built up in their hearts. Maybe they need to forgive someone or something's happened and it's knocked them back a bit. I pray they'll get close to you. You've given that great promise, draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. That's amazing. Help each one. Help those that are here today that have yet to understand the gospel, that you, in your love, sent your Son to pay the penalty, to pay their penalty for sin, to die and take your wrath and to rise again in triumph, and to declare that anyone that would come to faith in him would be your child. And Father, our pride jumps in here, and we're adults, and we'll process all this, but the bottom line is you've extended to us the gift of eternal life. We need to just reach out in faith and take it. Help those that may be there today. Father, we just ask as we come before you that we might come with hearts that are ready to hear, hearts that are ready to know, hearts that are ready to respond. And Father, help me as I proclaim. I need your help. I need the Spirit to move in and through me to proclaim to your people that which needs to be said. And we need your Spirit to move in them that they might hear and respond and grow. So, Father, we don't come to you as people that think we got it all together. This is a breeze, and we're the ones that are the example to all. No, we come needy to the throne of grace, to the cross, and ask that you will move. Father, do that now. For your great name, through Christ we pray, amen. One of the truths that God has been working in my own life from this book is the importance of perspective. You know, Ecclesiastes has a lot to say about living, about dying, and about enjoying the moment. The book is soundly realistic. It kind of reaches right into our hearts, right into America, right into the UP, right into this church as we stand. It does. You know, Solomon hasn't hidden the frustrations of his life from us in his teaching. He's laid before us those truths, those perspectives where he was overwhelmed as when he looked at life and how it just kept going, none of it made any sense. He was speaking of life really wasn't worth living when he thought of it without God, or at least that was his perspective. But we've seen him move, we've seen him change, we've seen him begin to look up. We've seen that the reality of life under the sun is that it includes pain. It includes wounds. We incur those. But it's to be lived both for the moment and for eternity. We are to enjoy the moment, but we are to think about eternity in as well. And you know, there's a brevity to this life that is stunning. It's fleeting away. Someone asked me yesterday, hey, how long you been here? I said, it was in 2001 when we came. 2001. I had more hair in 2001. You know, it just flies, doesn't it? Well, don't laugh. Some of you had more hair then, too. But that's the brevity of life. It's a vapor. Well, what I want to say to you today is that a life lived by faith, enjoying God's daily provision, is a life lived to its fullest. God has given us life. It is to be enjoyed as much as we can and accept his daily provision while we live by faith. Romans 1:17 says something here that I think is helpful. Whoops, I got to remember I'm here, don't I? I can't stray. The last part of that verse. The righteousness for in it, that is the gospel, Romans 1:16. Here's Romans 1:17. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the righteous man will live by faith. What I see in these first six verses is this truth, that we are to exercise faith. We are to exercise faith. The key phrase in these first six verses, and I'm going to get to it in depth a little later, but the key phrase here is, you do not know. You do not know. We don't know what the next moment brings. We don't know what tomorrow holds or next year. But as we live life under the sun, on this side of heaven, we are to live by faith, live by trusting him. He's trustworthy, but we're to allow him to stretch us. We see it here in commerce. Look at verses 1 and 2. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you'll find it after many days. Divide your portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on this earth. Verses 1 and 2, they refer to making a boldly decision by faith to act. The reference here, I believe, is to sending out ships. Solomon had ships. 1 Kings 10, 15, and 22 speak to the fact that Solomon was involved in this business. He had merchant ships that he sent out to various trading places. They would have grains and other goods. Now, he did that in hopes that the return would be profitable. And as they would be sent out, it would be months before they returned. And who knows what would befall them? What if a storm came up or pirates interfered? What if the value of the cargo diminished? One could what if these things to death. You really could. You could step back and say, I don't think I want to do that. I don't want to exercise faith in that way. But those what ifs, I'm sure you've never had them in your life, right? They can paralyze us. And they are absent of faith. You'll notice in this verse, in verse 2, there is also this, we would say, diversification. It was encouraged. Look at it here. Divide your portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. That's just real wisdom there. You know, we might say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. But the bottom line is here is we must exercise faith. We must exercise faith in everything. He talks about it in commerce. He also talks about it in farming. Look at verse 3. Right through 6, that's what they have to do with. Sowing and so forth. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. See, these things are out of our control. And then he says, he who watches the wind will not sow. He who looks at the clouds will not reap. Again, you can look at everything the farmer could around him and say, I just don't know. There's a time to sow. In verse 5, just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things, sow your seed. Sow it in the morning. Do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good. So the farmer is constantly dealing with change and instability. Clouds with rain are less stable than those trees he mentioned, but they're both out of our control. Heat, drought, wind, pest, market fluctuations, they're all things that the farmer faces. Verses 3 and 6 are similar. At some point, you have to act. At some point, you must sow. And here's where faith comes in. You know, our fears can just keep us from moving forward. And I don't know what fears may be yours today, but let's remember that our God is trustworthy and that we live by faith and not by sight. We live on the promises of God. That's what we do. But here he just says, sow in the morning and evening. I've heard farmers say this. You know, we may look at conditions, and if you're thinking of, you're a farmer, you think, well, a gardener like myself, one time a farmer, you might look at conditions and say, they're not right, but you know what? There's a time to sow, a time to plant, and we must do it. And even though it might look like, I remember this saying that I've heard many times here, from farmers, plant in the dust, our bins will bust. And I remember some of those years, those farmers just planting, and this, you know, the dust is rolling, and then God sends some rain. There's a great harvest. Not only is this true in the natural realm, but think about it. It's also true in the spiritual realm. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So not only, and Solomon makes the point here about the natural realm and just taking care of things and allowing God to lead us and acting by faith. But there's a spiritual truth here I don't want us to miss. You know, we don't see people saved because we don't believe they can be saved, so we don't invest in them. We give up too easily. We don't believe God can work in a certain individual's heart, so we don't build a relationship and allow God to work in us and through us to help that individual move along. We avoid those who have issues because we don't want to get involved in something messy. And bottom line is we're not sure that God would bring healing to them. Now, I know as I say this, we don't really believe that. But I want you to think about this. Often we don't exercise faith in this way. Say, that's for somebody else, or, you know, I'm not sure what's going on. We need to act in faith always. We're called to proclaim Christ. We've been praying for 20 individuals to be saved this year, 20 individuals to be baptized. You know what? God has you and I in certain places, and he wants to use you and I to be a part of that. He longs for those, and he's still drawing those into the kingdom who have yet come to Christ. We know he's not willing that any should perish, but we also know that he has given us the responsibility through the Spirit of God to go, to share, and he brings people in our lives that need to hear. And we need to believe that God can and will move people. We need to act in faith. You don't pass it to your pastor or someone else. You have been given an opportunity. You and I need to take advantage of those opportunities. You know, having spent much of my life farming, I know this one thing. We have to exercise faith. Remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. Whenever I planted Christmas trees, you're praying and trusting God with it. I remember planting one field two times. Lost all the 7,000 trees, lost them all. Planted again, 7,000 trees, lost them all. But you know what? If you never move in faith, and often I think this is true, we're thinking, when's God going to do something? Huh? When's he going to act? And we sit back on our hands. We have these promises of God, the Spirit of God in us. God calls us to act, to believe, to trust. This is true. We need to exercise faith in commerce or business. We need to exercise it in farming. He gives the illustration here. We need to exercise it into the unknown or in the unknown. Look at verse 2, verse 5, and verse 6. There's something similar in all those verses. It says, you do not know. You do not know. You do not know. James 4:14, James says it well. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. How many of you do? We really don't. We say, well, we got it planned out. This is what's going to happen. We don't have tomorrow. We really don't know. You are just a vapor. Sometimes I thought I should bring something up here to illustrate a vapor. That's what it is. It's just a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away. So in this vapor of life, we need to take advantage of every opportunity we have. Jesus said something about the unknown. He was speaking of life and death. He told a parable in Luke 12. That parable was about greed and possessions. He told of a rich man's land that was very productive. His harvest was such that he ran out of storage, out of room to keep it. He decided that he needed to tear down his barns and build bigger ones for greater storage. I'll give you a little bit of that parable. Luke 12:19. I will say to my soul, soul, you have, and these are the words of this rich man. Many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? This man in Luke 12 had no idea. He didn't know about tomorrow. He did not know. He had no idea that his life would abruptly come to an end. You know, this week, lots of people experienced this. Stepped into eternity this week. Same will be true today and tomorrow. But he was rich in earthly possessions, but it seems to me very poor toward God. No thought of the eternal. My point is this, we don't know what the next hour will bring. But in this hour, I need to exercise faith. I need to be living for the Lord, walking moment by faith. Many of you are very familiar with Hebrews 11. That text, you'll see these words again and again. By faith, so-and-so, by faith Abraham, by faith Enoch, by faith Moses, by faith, and there it goes. But what God led those people to do almost always made no sense. Abraham offering up Isaac, what sense does that make? Noah building an ark? He's not by the water. There's never been rain. But our life, see, it's a life of faith that we live. Now listen, the devil is slick. He's smart. His deception can be difficult to spot. In our world, in our nation, for Christians here, we've been blessed by God in so many ways. Amazing. You know, it's strikingly different for Christians elsewhere. It really is. We have brothers and sisters today in Christ all over the world who do not enjoy what we have, the material blessings that are so plentiful here. Think about it. We are blessed with fresh water, food, homes, jobs, savings, retirement. They cannot freely and openly worship. They don't have a building like we have, or access to teaching or assembling like we do. We have so much for which we thank God. There's two sides to this coin, isn't there? On the downside is this, that we don't see how desperate we really are for God. We really don't. There's a downside to this. Too often we're not so desperate as to pray. Too often we don't seek Him. So walking by faith in Him isn't always what we're really about. Complacency and apathy would well describe most Christians and most churches in our country. I believe it's a trap that the devil has laid by the, you know, there's this blessing of God, and the devil will use this for us to just sit back and say, you know, I got my retirement, I got my job, I got all this, thinking about what I'm doing next week, and we don't see that we need to be walking moment by moment, exercising faith. I remind you of the words of our Lord as it pertains to life and the call of the Christian. Mark 8, 34 and 35, He summoned the crowd, that is Jesus did, with His disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow Me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses life for My sake and the gospel's sake will save it." We're too independent for that, for the most part. This call to discipleship, I'll remind you, is anything but self-centeredness, and it's anything but apathetic or complacency. My word to you and to myself is, may we walk by faith with a total dependence upon God moment by moment as we're led by His Word and His Spirit. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to that. We need to exercise faith. Secondly, we need to exercise balance. That's really in verses 7 through 10. I'll read those again. The light is pleasant. It is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. And let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes, yet know that God will bring you to judgment for these things. Finally, he says, so remove grief and anger from your heart. Put away pain from your body, because childhood and prime of life are fleeting. Just as I believe that, you know, those key words in those first six verses are this, you do not know, so too I believe the key words in these last four verses are this, childhood and prime of life are fleeting. Childhood and prime of life are fleeting. Solomon's going back to a familiar issue, something he's brought up a number of times, and that is death. And one of the things we've discovered as we've gone through this book, that we really can't live life until we've dealt with the reality of death. We can't live life well. So I'd ask you, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Because you can't live life well today without knowing. And God has written the word that we can know that we have eternal life. If you're here today without Christ, If you're here today without a relationship to God through him, you need to know this, that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. Walking in this church does not make you right with God. Baptism does not make you right with God. The best that you can do does not make you right with God. Taking the Lord's Supper does not make you right with God. Being a little better than your neighbor does not make you right with God. Helping your neighbor does not make you right with God. Keeping or trying to keep the Ten Commandments does not make you right with God. So we all end up in the same boat. There's none righteous, no, not one. But in that place where we are under the wrath of God, ready to step into eternity of hell, God offers to you and I the greatest gift that anyone has ever known or could know. And that is the gift of eternal life. Not only do we walk and do the Christian life by faith, but we enter in this relationship with God through faith, through trust. And we would encourage you, as the scripture does, that today's a day of salvation. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You take whatever you're believing, set it aside, come to Christ, believe that he died for you, and that through faith in him you have eternal life. And the scripture says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We encourage you today to that. But I want you to know that we have this before us. Someday somebody's going to do my funeral. And someday somebody will do yours. And I believe that if we get this right, we can look at that in a very different way. That will be the day of my graduation. That'll be the best day I have ever had. There'll be more life in me that day than in any other day. I'll see him face to face. And so we need to look at that. And you guys believe that, but listen, here it is. Death is before us, and we can't really live until we've dealt with it. Now that we've dealt with this, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that resurrection power, we can live for him. And we can really do life and live it. And Solomon comes back to this. He's been talking about death. But you know, as we think about death, there's something that's been going on in my body for quite a while. It's called, I got your attention now, don't I? It's called the aging process. It's the aging process, right? And he speaks in light of that. He says in verse 7, the light is pleasant. It's good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. He's saying here, he's talking about light and darkness, and those really have to do. They're speaking of life and they're speaking of death. Came across a quote, I think you guys will amen this thing. At least some of you will. Inside every old person is a young person wondering what happened, right? You know what some of these older guys tell me? I get in my car, I still want to see how fast it'll go. So, but before we step into glory, for most of us, there's this aging process that's going to go on. In most cases, we're going to go through that. And I believe the aging process, I believe it, just as youth and being young is a gift from God, I believe this is also. And I believe it's an opportunity for us to grow in our dependence on him. It's an opportunity for us to be used by him like never before. I remember, and I had to look at this, I'm thinking it's in the Psalm. It speaks of old age and being productive. And I looked it up. Here it is, Psalm 92. Some of you are going to want to write this down. You are. Write it down. Psalm 92, 14 and 15. They will still yield fruit in what? In old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He's my rock. There's no unrighteousness in him. I believe if we look at this rightly, if we're walking by faith, we can have a powerful ministry even into our older years. See, those that are older, they've been through some things that can greatly profit us. And we need to hear that. We need to see you walking by faith, leaning on God, and moving forward in grace. And I want to encourage each of you that are saying, man, I'm kind of there. God has something for you as you're there. Allow God to use you in these twilight years as a powerful testimony and a blessing to others. Do you see that there? To declare that the Lord is upright. It was just last week I heard an older gentleman say to me in his 90s, oh, God has been so good to me. You know what that did to me? Just blessed my soul. And there's power from him through the Spirit to me because there's been a lot of water under the bridge he's walked. So, not that he's walked on water, but that he's experienced. I'll make sure I'm clear there. So, in light of aging, exercise balance. You got youth here. We'll get to that in a little bit. But in light of aging, let's remember, God, this is a blessing that I have these years to look back on. And God has kept me, so faithfully kept me. I've got to see him faithful in so many ways. But in light of rejoicing as well, see, you're only young once, right? And so we say to you that are young today, enjoy it. It's going to be just like Solomon said in the end of verse 10, childhood and prime of life are fleeting. Oh, if I could go back and be 25 again. That's prime of life. But guess what? That ain't happening. He says here, and by the way, verse 9, it's not just like you're released to do anything that you want to do. That's actually foolish thinking. If you remember verse 19 from the previous chapter, these were the thoughts of the fool. It talks about wine makes life merry and money is the answer to everything. Those are the words of a fool. Foolish living right there. Here, you have this thought to rejoice, young man, during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart. And you might stop there and say, well, that's exactly what the world is telling me. It's all about me. It's all about my pleasure. It's all about what I want to experience. But there's some more to the verse. Yet, know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. You need to be balanced in this. We rejoice in youth. Enjoy it. Make the most of it. Consider it a gift from God. But be balanced in it. Be balanced in it. There's one caveat. Yet, know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. You can't live life apart from this thought that I'm accountable to God. We are. When it comes to rejoicing, young and old, we're all called to do it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But take time and make sure we're thinking through and enjoying these moments. You know, you guys have, think about it. We have this moment this morning. We actually are making history right now. We'll never come back to it. We need to, and this afternoon, if God grants you that, whoever you're with, wherever you are, that's a gift from God. It's a moment that you have. And I have to tell you, I am, okay, so when I'm done here, I'm already thinking about, I've already thought about next Sunday. I've got all the week planned out. And with that, I can fail to see things. I got a great lesson the other day, again in this, and it was by a child. Grandkids were over eating blueberries. And one of the girls said to their grandma, Grandma, you see the star on this blueberry? I thought, I didn't know blueberries had stars. Well, they do. See, on the end of each of those, you know, a child can see that. I just eat it. But that's to think about and see what God has before me. So rejoice in this moment, in this age, if you're young. If you're older, it's a gift from God as well. Take time with kids. Man, they can teach us a lot, you know, and see God's creative hand in blueberries and flowers and birds, and trees and a blade of grass. Take time for that. Rejoice in it. Rejoice in those moments. Finally, light of accountability. If a follower of Christ is going to enjoy life, going to have peace, going to have a heart that allows the body to function as it should, look at verse 10. This is outstanding. So he's saying this thing, and enjoy these moments. But remove grief and anger from your heart. Put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. So again, make the most of your moments. But as a child of Christ, if we're going to enjoy life, going to have peace, going to have a heart that allows the body to function as it should, going to be full of hope, then guess what? We really need to clean this thing up. It's a heart issue. He says here, it's the heart. Remove grief and anger from your heart. What's that about? Well, that's about keeping short accounts of sin with God. That's what this is about. This is about calling sin what it is. Solomon mentions grief and anger. These are issues. Listen, these are issues that all of us have and are dealing with. All of us do. Grieving over lost ones or someone who is lost or walking foolishly, it's a part of my life. You know, it's a part of my life. I can't get past it. And it's not always that I'm grieving over someone who's lost. Sometimes I'm grieving with someone who's grieving over someone who's dying or is gone on. Sometimes that's the case. And for some of you, this has been a part of your life. You would agree. So-and-so passed on that day. You know what? Still hits me. So in our grieving, let's acknowledge something here when it's about people. That if they're in Christ, we didn't say goodbye. We said what? So long. We'll see them again. Praise God. What great hope we have. But if it's grieving over someone who's, and by the way, I believe that this should be a part of your life and my life. If we're in tune with people, we're going to know people who are walking well with Christ. We also are going to know people that are probably living a life that's a train wreck, and you see, this is going to be painful, not only for them, but for their family, whatever. So there are times that my heart grieves as a pastor, as a friend, over situations like that. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said something in Romans 9, too. He said, I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. And he's talking about toward the Jewish people and their rejection of Christ. Remember the triumphal entry? Jesus gets over Jerusalem. And he knows their hearts toward him, and he bursts out in weeping because of the coming judgment of those people. Paul says, it affects me. I got to tell you, it affects me. But I have to give this over again and again to the Lord, and I'm reminded that these things are bigger than I am, and I need to exercise faith in giving the word and speaking into someone's life. I pray for wisdom. I don't do it perfectly. I don't. But I am yielded to God as he would use me. He mentions grief here. He also mentions anger. You know, we're to control our anger. It needs to be yielded to Christ, managed by the Spirit and the word. So little of our anger is a righteous anger. So little of it. Most of it, it's about I want what I want when I want it. Someone isn't doing what I want, I'm mad at them. But you know, sinful anger, it screams, it curses, it vents, it rages, it destroys and injures others. That's what it does. Righteous anger maintains a godly demeanor. And it always is under control in ministering to others for the glory of the Lord. I think we need to ask ourselves, are we considering God in these issues, and that he allows challenging things to come to us, and that we need to be all about him? I'd ask your friend, where are you at today, brother, sister, with these issues? Have we confessed our sin to him, sought the forgiveness of others where needed? This is a family. You're part of a family as a Christian. And just like every family has issues and challenges, so does the body of Christ. But you and I have a responsibility in that body, wherever and whenever we can, to love, to extend grace, if we've offended, if we sin, to get that right with someone else. Are you yielding to God in these areas? I'll finish with this. This is what I've been getting at. Walking by faith and rejoicing in his daily provision is to live life to its fullest. You know, Jesus came to give life and life more abundant. But as I said earlier, we got it all, don't we? And when you have it all, it moves us from seeing our greatest need, and that's to walk with God moment by moment, exercise faith in everything. I don't know where God's found you today. Brother, sister, maybe it is that it's okay. God's word has spoke to me, and I need to get this right with him. And then I need to go see somebody. If that's the case, I would say to you, go. Be released. Walk as you should. Maybe you've got anger built up to someone. Maybe someone's done something. Have you released them? Have you just set them free? Are you going to harbor that and hang on to that? I will tell you what it'll make you. It'll make you a bitter old man. It'll make you someone cantankerous. There's no joy there, and it's going to hinder your fellowship with God and your fellowship with believers. Let it go. Release. The first one to experience victory in that is you, and then others will. Two, if you're here without Christ, if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, we encourage you to take him as your Savior, as your Lord. Take that gift of eternal life by faith. Whatever faith you have, you place it in him. You can cry out something like this. This is what I did. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. You've said, if I ask you to save me, you'll do so. And he did. Romans 10:13. Whoever, that's you guys, anyone, will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we'll see life, and it's often that it's in chaos and crisis that we cry out to you, that we are really challenged to walk as we should and exercise faith in your promises. I pray we won't be that way, but we'll see right now in this moment, I have a great need for you. And I've been trusting in so many things that seem to be in my control. Father, I pray we'll let that go and just simply yield ourselves to you and believe. Trust you in every moment. Let us rejoice in your provision. I remember our Lord's words, give us this day our daily bread. Father, you've done that in abundance. And we take it for granted. We've come into this building. Probably took for granted today that we got to be a part of a great worship service. Help us to say thanks and rejoice in your daily provision. We so rejoice in our Lord Jesus that he's alive forevermore. Help us to live life to its fullest. I pray your blessing on this people, Father. Use them. May they be people that others look to and say, wow, that's what a walk of faith looks like. That's what exercising faith is all about. That's what enjoying the moment is all about. That's what living life to its fullest is all about. Father, there's areas in our life that we probably need to turn over to you in a greater degree, perhaps some sin issues, perhaps some, and maybe we're holding back something from someone or refusing to bless or to give grace or to forgive. I pray you work there too. In Jesus' name, for his glory, we pray. Amen. Let me get to the back and you'll be dismissed.